011, Perigimel Shara Bitochen. He talks more the Maisa, but Hakdomos, the premises, Shebebeiruren, but they run when they're clarified, the Amitoson, and you internalize their truths. Let's just pay lip service to it. Yishlam Bitchono Shalodam Al Hashem Yisala. You'll develop Bitochon B'Shleimus when you clarify these things in your mind. And that means you have to think about them. Turn it over in your mind. See if you really believe it. See if it's real to you. Or if you're just saying it because, you know, you don't want to be labeled an apikaris. So you have to see if you have to say Tehillim. There's a marvelous, I don't want to use the word segula, because I don't like the word segula, quite frankly. But not what it's come to mean anyway. It's a superstition. It's come to mean that. There are segulas in Shas, in the Gemara. There are things that are metaphysical by nature. There are things that, you know, not everything is physical. There are things that are metaphysical. And we don't quite know how they work, but they work. So that's a segula. But it's been misused a lot in the last few years, the last door. But saying Tehillim is a wonderful way to develop Bitochon. You're reading it, you're saying, you're understanding the words, and you see that David HaMelech was always, from every angle, in every tzara he was in, he was forlorn, he was lost, he didn't have where to turn, he didn't have a friend in the world, people were talking Lashon Hara on him, he didn't have any seeming etzah, how to get out of the fix he was in, he was surrounded by enemies, you read, and he's constantly talking about Bitochon. That's 80% of Tehillim is that. So if you read Tehillim slowly and you think what the words mean, and he constantly describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, the constant thing, you know, we say it and we believe it and everything's fine and dandy, but in the world in which we live, everything's pulling us away from Hashem. We see cause and effect, we see perhaps Tzadik V'Ralo, Rosh HaVetovlo, with our eyes. It's a major issue. Moshe Rabbeinu was troubled by that. And we see cause and effect. What pulls us away from Bitochon is that we see cause and effect. What looks to us is cause and effect, and it's really, really hard to rip ourselves away from what our own eyes tell us, or our own seichel. And that's why this has to be chazed and thought about. And again, you know, he takes it slow. The Chayim Shalvav is Mitzvah Shem, and if I would have time, like you see throughout Shara HaBidoh, and he's developing it slowly, how you can become it, how you can acquire Bitochon. So he says, here, you know, he's saying, for Shleimus HaBitochon, there has to be five foundations. The first foundation is the seven things he talks about, he talked about in the second parak, which would just justify having Bitochon. Without that, it doesn't start. So that's the first foundation, that Hashem has the seven things that would justify having it. And without that, it's ludicrous to talk about Bitochon. Yidiyasu HaBrura, his clear knowledge, Kikol Shivas Anyanim, all the things we talked about, which are demanded, which are required, just by logic, of someone you're going to have Bitochon in, Yeshnam b'Hashem yisadar b'yisroma. Hashem b'hiskabtzom, when they come together, these seven things, v'misha b'otchem olav, yitochen ha'bitochon labotayach olav, then it's possible. Then we can start talking about it. For Shleimus, you need five foundations. But to start, foundation one is the seven things which just allow it. For hiskartim, I mentioned it in the previous parak. Fariosi aleim b'meshin is damali mikisvei ha'kodesh, I brought down psukim to show them, and now I'm going to develop it logically, not with psukim, but with logic, with human logic. Fahim number one is Hashem Yisal Rachman Shabrachmanam Ala Adam. Hashem loves you and has more rachmanus on you more than anything else. And here he's mechadesh a chiddush. He didn't say this in the second parak. This is a thought we talked about it last week. Really, I'll just go over it quickly. But kol rachman v'chemlo shatovu mizulosu Ala Adam, heim brachme Hashem Yisal v'chani naso. The Rachmanus we have, the Rachmanus a mother feels for a child, the Rachmanus a friend has for a friend, the Rachmanus and the love that a spouse feels for a spouse is a reflection of Hashem's love. This is how Hashem is mashpia, love in the world. This is how he's mashpia, Rachmanus on the world. This is how he, it's all an image, like it's a taste. It's a taste of Hashem's Rachmanus. The truth is, a mother's Rachmanus, a parent's Rachmanus, is really, it's overwhelming. It's really not natural. Once in a while you hear a story, like, you get the chills from it. You read a story in the newspaper, you read like a horrible story about abuse. Children are a pain in the neck. You want to go out, you're a babysitter. They're screaming, they're crying, you stay up with them, right? I'm not sure how natural it is. Maybe there's a spark of Hashem, not just in the lot, not just in like saying, okay, a mother's Rachmanus is really Hashem's Rachmanus channeled through the mother. Yeah, it really is like that. You know how I can prove it is like that? Because a mother's Rachmanus on a child is not natural. A mother will love a child no matter what, no matter how much it crimps her own. And you want to be reminded of this every once in a while. You read a Shrek-like story, hopefully by Goyim, that they have no use for the child. The child is just, it's just a bother, a pain. So where does the Rachmanus, and maybe every Rachmanus, say, wait a second, wouldn't a logical, objective, rational person would never have Rachmanus? Where does that come from? Where does Rachmanus come from? Where does that need to come from? Why does a person have Rachmanus? It's not logical, it's not rational. Where does that emotion come from? Where does a person's sense of fairness come from? Say, this is not fair. Where does that come from? Who taught him, why do things have to be fair? It comes from somewhere. This is all Hashem bestowed. Hashem, the sense of fairness is the Tzelem Elokim. Hashem is Elokei Mishpat. Hashem runs the world with fairness. So we have a sense of fairness, but it's a hashpah from Hashem, our sense of fairness. And our Rachmanus, which is irrational, certainly by a child, I'll call it irrational, it's unnatural, it's overwhelming. What parents, they give up their lives, and they take care of their children. This is commonplace. Where does that come from? And it's in every culture, hopefully. I don't know, in China, they're not so much, if it's a girl, but, they don't take too kindly to girls in China. You're lucky you were born here. It's from Hashem. That's what the Chavis HaLovitz here is revealing to us. And logically, he's saying it. And I'm elaborating on what he's saying. It's logical. Even this point is logical. Because or else, where does it come from? Why would a rational being, that emotion comes from Hashem? The truth is, Seichel also comes from Hashem. But Seichel, at least, we could say, okay, I have Seichel, so I'm thinking. But where does that feeling come from? What's fear? What's Rachmanus? Okay. So he's explaining the pasuk that v'nosim lecha rachmim, he will have others have rachmanus on you, he will bestow rachmim on you, v'richamcha, that's the double option, it's really Hashem having rachmanus on you. So when a mother has rachmanus on a child, it's Hashem. The child's helpless. Who's going to take care of this child? Right? Animals are born, I think, within 2 or 3 days. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know if there's a Slifkin. But within a couple of days, they can take care of themselves. A child? Helpless. he has to do everything for him. Then when he gets older, right, you're lucky if he gives you the time of day. Right? Vahashenis. Number two is, so this was number four in Perek Beis, if you're keeping a scorecard. For some reason he mixes it up. We mentioned it last week. So this number two here is number four in the second Perek. It's not concealed from him what's beneficial for a person. Any discovery made, any medicine for a chole, any emotional, what I need to grow, what I need to be the best person I can be, anything, whether it's physical medicine, whether it's emotional help, whether it's the type of spouse that I have, the type of nisyonos I have in life, Hashem knows what's best for me. Now, best doesn't mean the most comfortable and the most gishmak tasting and the most pleasureful. It doesn't mean that. That's not the definition of the word best. Best, if we all had to define best, we would all define it as reaching my potential as a person. Or we may define it as bringing me closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, that could be how we would define best, and that's certainly what the Chavis Halvavos means. So Hashem knows what's best for us more than anybody else. But even in a thing like I'm sick, Hashem knows how I get better. Hashem knows what's best for my emotional health. Why? And he's talking logic now. First of all, Hashem is of course omniscient, but he says Yachad Mibruah. Hashem created us, and the manufacturer always knows what's best for the machine. It's not possible that someone will know what's best for the machine. They have say though, and what would ruin the machine, what would make it ill, not function properly. Think of a refrigerator. We also how to fix it. Yosemi Borim, more than the creation, more than the creator, more than the manufacturer. And if that's poshut, and that's the reality by human manufacturers, but also mibnei yodom, person that made a refrigerator, she'enu mechatchim benasa al yodom ki imtzura mikris. He's saying, what did he do when he made a refrigerator? Even he didn't get into the kishkes of how everything works to its most fundamental principles. He took principles that already exist, the principles of electricity, principles of whatever, whatever forces there are in the world, magnetism, electricity, the ozone, whatever, and he put it together. And he understands how to fix it best. He can't create anything, so he doesn't really know the real nature, down to its bottom line nature of what's the essence of electricity. He doesn't know what's the essence of these things. He can't create a piece of wood. You give him a piece of wood, he'll make a chair out of it. So now you want to say, well, how to keep, so how do you, with the upkeep of a wooden chair, how many times should I oil it? How many times should I grease it? How many times should I clean it? So you ask the manufacturer. But he can't make a piece of wood. So and even in that case, when his knowledge of the wood is limited to just really superficiality, meaning he takes what already exists and he puts it together, and still he knows better than anyone else how to treat it. Koshkin, the one who created wood, right? He certainly knows what's best for the chair. He knows the nature of wood itself. That he can create, the one who created, who can get to the really the underpinnings of everything. Aval hayasod v'hatzura ha'atzmus, the basic nature of whatever it is he's put together. Ein lahem eitzel asoso, they can't manufacture a chemical. They can take the chemicals that exist and they could play around with it, but they can't create it. V'lo koach litzur also, v'yim kain, therefore, logically, asher bori yisodus ha'odam, the one who created the person out of creation, you're talking out of out of a putrid drop, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says. And out of that springs an entire person, v'tzuroso, in his shape, v'tchonoso, in his nature, v'sei d'chiburo, in its composition, how a person is put together. And he doesn't even mention the nefesh and the guf is put together. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says, when you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Rofei Chol Basorum, Afli La'asos, you're talking about the amazing chibur between the nefesh and the guf, which has no logic to it, but Hashem keeps it together. And the nefesh stays in the person as long as the person's alive. So certainly, Hashem, who Mafli La'asos, who created down to its very most basic parts, Yodea Yoser, V'chocham Yoser, Bofane, to Ali Yosef, so he knows what's best for the person from every angle, physical, mental, emotional, social, reaching potential, growth. He knows what's best. Unazokov, and what's no good for the person. Umashematimlo, what's good for the person, ba'olamo, in this world, ba'olamo zeh, uliolam haba, what's both. He knows what's best, what would make a person have the most fullest life, not the most comfortable. That's an arbitrary choosing, comfortableness. What's best for him? What's most matim for him? Ba'olam ozeh, maybe what'll make him work on his midos. Obviously, over the gra. A person comes down to this world, that's really the most important thing. When a person is faced with an nisayon, you should realize, thank Hashem, and realize that every person came down to this world, the Vilna Gaon says in many places, I've said it many times, to be misakin the midos. And when something happens, that's the nisayon, that's it. You're given the opportunity. Because or else we fall asleep, and we're so busy with life, that not always do we reflect on how our midos need tikkun. So sometimes Hashem has to send a crisis, or I don't wish a crisis on anyone, but at least a problem that they have to deal with. And the method of the dealing, the method of the solution, is the tikkun midos that they need. And if you could see that, and you could realize, you know, if I would conquer my anger, I could get over this. If I would conquer my lack of bitachon, I could get over this. If I could conquer my impatience, I could get over this. If I could conquer my sense of superiority and pompousness, if I can conquer my want to find favor in the eyes of people, I want kavod, I could conquer this. And if you chap, that's the dynamic that's going on in your life, that the mida that you know you're deficient in, you have to work on, you should sing Hallel, you should thank Hashem, He sent you the opportunity to do that. So that's what he's saying. Hashem knows what you need in this world to have a happy life. Uliolam haba, and what will hook you up with eternity. Kamosha Amar, the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem Elokecha, and he brings down the Pasuk that talks about discipline. It talks about when Hashem is giving us tochacha, when Hashem is waking us up, talking to us. Melamedcha, I am Hashem who teaches you lahoil. I discipline you, I teach you lahoil for your own benefit. Madvichacha, I guide you b'derech teilech. I'm showing you, like, do this, like, you're stingy. So now you're faced with this situation where you have to open up your heart, you have to be generous, you have to work on yourself, and so on and so forth. So V'omar ki es asher ye'ehav Hashem yochiach. You should look at it as a sign of love. Hashem is mochiach you. If problems, realize that the way to overcome them is by tikkun midos. maybe it's a mid of laziness. Maybe you have to do things to overcome it. And because maybe you're smug and self-satisfied. Everything. Hashem loves you and He wants you to better yourself, so He sends you everything that He sends you. But He knows what's best. You have to think and internalize that whatever happens is what's best for you, and Hashem knows what's best for you because He created you. And right, and He was, goes there if you should be intelligent, not so intelligent. Some people have natures. Everybody has certain natures. Not everybody. It's an assignment to overcome it. Some people are by nature impatient. So there's nothing wrong with saying that. Hashem gives us the tools to overcome our nature. And every person's different. So people were created impatient. And that's what they have to overcome. Some people were created with a short temper. And that's what they have to overcome. So Hashem created the machine, and He knows how to make it perfect. He knows how to oil it, how to keep the upkeep, and how to make it function at peak function. Who else knows if not the manufacturer? So that's what number two here is, which was number four in the second parak, that Hashem knows better than anyone else what's best for you. So it's not like, and really we have a hard time with this. In Bitachon, this really many times is what we bump up against. Is that, you know, but this is bad, this is not good. Ashlishis, number three, Shabori Yisal Gibor Al Kol Gibor, to internalize that Hashem, there's no obstacle to Hashem doing whatever He wants. Ufugudoso, in His decree, Mof Elis, happens, comes into being. Yosu Mikol Pekuda, more than anyone else's decree. Vein Meshev L'Mishpato, it's the ultimate city hall that you can't fight. Kamo Sheomar Kol HaShechofetz Hashem also. Vomar Ken Yiyeh Dvori Esher Yeitzei Mipi Lo Yoshev Alay Reikon Ki Yem Osos Asher Chofatzti. The end of the pasuk is V'Etzliach Asher Shalachtiv. That's okay, that's simple enough. But we have to realize that, and nothing happens without Hashem's decree, and nothing happens without Hashem having made the decree. And there's nothing that, there's no obstacles. So if Hashem has rachmanis on you and knows what's best for you, there's no obstacle that's going to be there. The Horavius, number four here, is number two in the second parak. This was number two in the second parak. Shu Mashgiach Peniel, he runs, he watches over, and he manages. Kol Matzavei Bnei Adam. Everything that happens, he's aware of everything that goes on. Mo Maznichom, he doesn't neglect it, he's not busy with something else. So he doesn't neglect anything. It's hard for us to imagine. We burn our finger in the kitchen, you know, so Hashem decreed that this happened, and Hashem knows what would happen. Hashem made it happen. Hashem doesn't neglect the smallest act of a person. V'lo musalei mehem, it doesn't ignore. V'lo yeyolei mimenu ma'uma midover katon, which is us sitting here, every person here, that we're ad gadol, and the world, whether it's our thoughts, it's very scary thought. Whether it's our deeds or our words or our thoughts, Kodesh Baruch Hu is aware of everything that's going on. He doesn't realize that I'm. He knows everything. He doesn't get distracted by other things. But look at the pasuk he quotes. You know, it sounds funny to us. And look at the pasuk he quotes. Ka'omro, he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu that says as follows. Lomo tomer Yaakov. Yaakov says in Golos, it's talking. Utadaber Yisrael. This is Klal Yisrael talking in Golos, when they had every right to feel as they talk. Nistar Adarki me Hashem. Hashem has turned away. He turned away from us. He's not caring about us anymore. He's letting this happen. I don't have to tell you that there's been the Holocaust, right? In our time, we could call that in our time, in our, you know, it's not ancient history. And this was, many people reacted this way. tremendous nisayon. Nistra darki me Hashem u'me'olakayim mishpoti ya'avor. My mishpot taking the kum on the goyim, Hashem has forgot about it, Hashem. Don't say that. Don't say that. The truth is, the Holocaust, I mean, you could react in different ways. That in itself is a very scary thing, that some people reacted in the worst possible way, by saying, Nistra darki me Hashem, me elekai mishpati yavor. Hashem's not there, kvayachal. And some people felt, some people felt it's a fulfillment of certain things in the Chumash. Some people felt that almost unreality of a sophisticated, civilized people turning into the worst kind of animals, and the world going along with it and enabling it and not caring, the whole world, including America, including Roosevelt, including everybody. That's the biggest riot of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. It doesn't make sense. You know, anti-Semitism should, in a certain, in an ironic twist, should make us feel more mischazik that it's Hashem. What are they picking on us for? We don't hurt anybody, we don't harm anybody. We're nice people. What do you want from us? Right, when the Germans picked the Jews, so that it could be a chizuk, but it's very scary. It's not for us to say that if we would have been there, we wouldn't have reacted the wrong way. That's al todin es chavecha to the yilam makomo. We just thank Hashem that we weren't a man. And you know, we do have such nisyonos sometimes, not on the magnitude of the Holocaust, but sometimes tragedies strike, and we have to deal with it. And it's not 6 million, but you know, it could be one. One is not that far from 6 million. It's just a question of numbers, right? A tragedy strikes, and we could say, there's a danger. There's a danger of saying this to a darki me Hashem li alakai mishpat di yavor. And it says, you have to be mechazik your emuna. Sometimes you should have to go back to basics. Halo yodata, imlo shamata. You either know it on your own, or you were taught it. You had a good chinuch. Elokei olam Hashem. The navi's menateach, like the parts, what you have to think about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashgiach over the whole world. Borei ketzos ha'aretz, he created the whole world. Lo yiyach, it's not like he's tired. He didn't go to sleep. He didn't forget about you. Lo yiga, en cheker l'sfunoso. Hashem, this is really, the answer really lies in the last three words. En cheker l'sfunoso means Hashem's wisdom is infinite. There's wheels within wheels within wheels why things happen. And, you know, we have extremely limited scope, and there's a much larger picture that we're not privy to. And even when we're privy to the larger picture, or we think we are, we're still not privy to the real picture. Like, I like the marshal that I tell my children often. When Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, so he said, you thought you were selling me down to Mitzrayim and you were getting rid of me. You didn't realize Hashem's plan. There was going to be a rov. Look how wonderful Hashem's hashgacha is. There's going to be a rov and lemichya, and now I'm supporting you. Yaakov would have been wiped out the rov. I mean, we don't know, but that's what Yosef said at least. Hashem sent me lemichya to give you food and sustenance and to sustain you and to keep you alive. This is mamash unbelievable. Now we look at these psukim and we should smile because Yosef was right, but even that wasn't the whole picture. Even after he tells the brothers, oh, you thought this was going on, there was a much bigger picture going on. There was a huge rav, and look what happened. But we know that there was an even larger picture going on, that Bnei Yisrael had to come down to Mitzrayim, and this was a fulfillment of Brisbane HaBasarim, and Hashem was maneuvering that they should come down to Mitzrayim, but they're a kavod, Chazal tell us, they shouldn't be come down in chains, in servitude, but they should come down as Amoshim Chashubim, with Yosef as the king of Mitzrayim, and then that turned sour. So, like, here's Yosef almost, you think sometimes we say, oh, I see now what Hashem had in mind. It's a joke. In Cheker Lusfunaso, Hashem's wisdom is infinite. You know, we think we perceive the wheels within wheels, but really there's wheels within wheels within wheels. Right? I just learned the Nach in the Shul, the Nach Shia Shabbos morning. So, I don't know how acquainted you are with Nach. There's a whole story how Shaul kills out Nov Ir HaKohanim because he thinks they're in cahoots with David, because he imagines David's a Morei B'Malchus. Shaul thinks that David wants to overthrow him unjustifiably, and that David's a danger to the Jewish people. He convinces that's part of the tragedy of not part. The tragedy of Shaul is that he convinces himself of that. That's okay, and that's what he had a conversation this morning. and then he imagines, because someone taught Lashon Hara, Lechilus, so he imagines that the city of the Kohanim Nov are in cahoots with David, the terrible slander, and he goes and he wipes out Nov Ir HaKohanim. So, right, that's the story. Then you step back and you start learning the Gemaras and the Chazals and the Mefarshim, and there's so many things going on. This Doeg, the one that taught Lashon Hara, gets punished. Shaul gets punished because he listened to the Lashon Hara. David gets punished. Generations later, David gets punished because he was indiscreet. And he had a secret conversation with, he had a secret conversation with one of the Kohanim, with Achimelech, the chief Kohen there. And he allowed Doeg to see him, and he wasn't careful. You know, he just stalked him, and he let Doeg build up a story. And he was indiscreet, Chazal tells, and he was punished for that. Yonason, amazing. Yonason was punished because this whole thing happened because David was starving to death and had to ask the Kohanim to give him food. And Yonason, David's best friend, who selflessly stepped aside, really, and said to David, you're going to be the king, not me. This is Shaul. I'm your best friend, right? The symbol of friendship. But he neglected to give David Seidel Aderech. He didn't give David food. He sent him out to the car without giving him a bag of cookies to take with him. So David was starving, and Yonason was punished for this. Meanwhile, Chazal tell us, Nov Ir HaKohanim, who were killed, are the descendants of Eli HaKohen, who was cursed by Shmuel, because they did evil, so they deserved. So look what's going on. And it spans generations, and it's like, you know, you have to step back, and you say, how little we know. You know, we see 5 minutes of history, a week of history, and we think we know it all already, and we have kashas, and look at this one. Everybody's punished for his role in it, and meanwhile they deserve, because Hashem's running everything. So everything is part of a huge master plan. Ein cheker l'sfunoso. That's ultimately the teretz. There really is, you know, there's many teretzim that we hear, and people try to comfort us, or they say, you know, this is the fulfillment of the psukim and dvarim that say when Bnei Yisrael are going to be punished if they stray, if there was assimilation, and there was reform, and there was this and that. It's all mini terutzim. And cheker l'sfunoso, so sometimes you just have to, you know, vayido maharon. Just be quiet. You have to be careful. You're Menachem Ovel. Sometimes you could hurt someone. Sometimes you could say hurtful things. You try to be, try to say something comforting, and sometimes you say something that hurts. Sometimes you just, you know, Ein Cheker Luspunoso is maybe sometimes the best thing to say. We don't know why Hashem does things. So, you know, you talk the Holocaust. Once asked my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Abba Berman, I asked him once. Once he was a Litvisher Rosh Hashiva. But once a year he would be expansive and he would talk. Friday night, Parsha Zohar, we'd go to his house and he would just tell stories and he would be out of character for a Litvisher Rosh Hashiva. Yeah, I hope he's my Rebbe, my Rosh Hashiva. I owe everything to him. Anyway, so I used them once in that venue. Why some people, like, what was the, how does he define the difference? What made some people react with apikursus? And some people, perhaps even their amunah was mischazik. And they said, like, this can't be happening. This is like, without a Hashem, this wouldn't happen. This is beyond, this wouldn't happen. Even in a chaotic world, this is like crazy. Even chaos, this is beyond chaos. So there must be a Borei Olam that's making this happen. It's so irrational. Like sometimes, you know, in Israel, you ever think about, you want to shoot someone, you read the paper and you read the news reports about this, what this president is doing and what they're doing in England to us and what they're saying about us in every country in the world. And you say, you know something? There must be Hashem in the world. This is so irrational and so crazy that Hashem must be doing it to us because of something we're lacking, something we're doing wrong. Anyway, so he told me that say it's in the Holocaust, like what? Because he lived through the Holocaust. So he said, I'm not sure I understand his answer. I mean, I understand. I mean the depth of it. That's what I mean. He said he thinks it depends how a person lives. I'll say it like simplistically, perhaps. A person lives for himself. And he hopes Hashem gives him what he needs. So when Hashem is not there for him, he gets violently angry. If his living is self-centered, then he expects things, or he needs things, he wants things, he feels entitled to things. So when things go bad, or very bad, or horribly bad, you know, we're talking about the Holocaust now, we're not talking about someone who whose air conditioning broke, you know. But if a person lives for Hashem, so if a person's perspective on life is that I'm here to serve Hashem, I'm here to recognize that Hashem exists, I'm here to become close to Hashem, like his whole sense of being is this way, not that way. That's how he said it. His sense of reality, his sense of being, his purpose in life is this, is out to Hashem, not in to himself. Hashem's not like a candy machine giving him things. But it's very, very hard. But he says, so then when bad things happen, see, you're pained. You're pained by Hashem's, you become more aware of Hashem, like, why is Hashem doing this to me? But, like, that's what he said. I don't know if I fully understand it, but anyway, I'll go on off the tangent here. And Cheker Lusfunaso, but what's interesting to me is that the Chavis Halvavos, I hope he slips in deep ideas without speaking it out. He started off saying in the fourth thing that Hashem is cognizant of everything that goes on. Then the pasuk he brings in talks about, it's a remarkable pasuk that he brings in. He brings in a pasuk talking about a person who's suffering, talking about a person who feels klali sol and golos. Lomo tome Yaakov sudabri yisol nistera darki me Hashem. He's not saying Hashem knows everything. That's the point here, only, so to speak, quote unquote. That Hashem knows everything that goes on, and so he has rachmonos, and he knows what's best for us, and he knows everything about us. He knows what we're thinking, he knows everything. But then the Chodesh HaLavas brings down a pasuk that really addresses a very deep issue of life not working out the way we'd like it to. And you say, where's Hashem? Does Hashem really exist? Does Hashem... is there a Hashem that knows about this and cares about this? And this is what happens. In Cheker Lusfunoso, Hashem created all the marvels in the world. See, in Chodesh HaLavas, he wants you to Shar HaBechina. Maybe one day we'll learn it, Mitzvah Shem. He wants you to look at nature. He wants you to realize the tremendous complexity of the world, of nature, of physics, of biology, of the natural sciences. He wants you, because HaLolos is a big believer, he said that's the foundation of your Avodas Hashem. It does a lot of things. Primarily, it creates the basis for our Avodah, our Hakaras HaTov to Hashem. But here I'm saying, you know what else it does? It makes you aware of the amazing complexity. You know, we see a Holocaust. Or, you know, we could see a stillborn child. It's one of the slime other tragedies. It's not that different. You know, 1/6 million is the same tragedy as 6 million. It's just, not just. It's not really different. Holocaust is in some ways a very childish question. If someone is bothered by the Holocaust and not bothered by a tragedy of a child passing away, I think that person is, it's really the same question. It's not different, just because 6 million, you know, wow, 6 million, what's the difference? Same kasha, same question. But if you think of the complexity, you know, we have very limited vision. And if you want to realize that, go look at nature. Nature can do that for you too. The complexity of the world and the interrelationship of, I don't claim to know. We have to learn Shara Bechina, but you just go to a library, I don't know, and then take out a science book, and take out an encyclopedia, and how everything in the world interacts. I was sitting with a gardener last week. I got a bone up for Hilcha Shmita. So I sat with a gardener. I said, give me an education. So, you know, he laughed at me. You know, he could sit there talking to me for a year and not teach me everything. And this is just like in a silly garden, you know, with grass and trees. But, you know, every time, you know, we're exposed to the complexity of nature, of life. And that's such a small part of life, a garden, you know, the biology and everything. So first, Chavis HaLodos primarily wants it to create a sense of a Hakaras HaTov, the foundation of our lives, always, and the foundation of always praising Hashem and thanking Hashem. But I'm saying here, it accomplishes something else. It makes us realize how puny our vision is, how small it is. Look at everything that's going on. So in history also, in life, in events, there's also so much going on. There's so much going on. We can't even grasp it. It's kemat infinite. I mean, only Hashem is actually infinite. Right? It's almost infinite. So when things happen, I would say wheels within wheels within wheels within wheels, what do we know? So that's another mila of, perhaps, to develop a sense of Ein Cheker L'Sfunoso. So when you learn and the truth is, when you learn Torah, so you also, I don't know if you experience it. Please be moichel me if I just insulted anyone. But when you learn Torah, you also see a pack of all the complexities in the physical universe. When you learn Gemara, you learn Shas, you learn Torah, it's the whole thing you see again. It's like a whole parallel universe. And all the complexity and all the interrelationships and all the wheels within wheels within wheels within wheels you see in the spiritual realms. And you have Nigla, and you have Nistar, and you have Kabbalah, and you have Chumash, and you have Gemara. And it's like the whole thing exists in the spiritual world as well. And you say, I need a couple of thousand years to learn everything. And then something happens, and you have Akasha, and you say, So that's what we have to work on. Okay.